time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hi, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you thrive no matter what life throws your way. And life does throw lots of things our way. Today, I want to talk about a few things I've noticed in my life that you might also notice in yours. And that is that sometimes I have these fears that grab me. And, you know, the problem is sometimes we take these fears that come along, and they could be fears about lots of things. It could be about money, about relationships, about what's going to happen down the road. And they just kind of grab us. And sometimes it seems like they're out of the blue. In just a minute, I'm going to tell you why they're not out of the blue. But those are sometimes those things that grab us. You know, we're just kind of going through the day and all of a sudden they grab us. Or maybe even at night, we're sitting there trying to go to sleep. And what happens? Our mind creates something that grabs us and shakes us to the core. And sometimes it's real events. You know, something's going on out there and it just grabs us and scares us to death. Somebody calls us and says that there's an illness or there's been an accident, or maybe something around you is going on that scares you. It could be nature. There's just so many things that can wrap us up in fear. And unfortunately, fear is not something you can control. It just comes upon you. It grabs you and holds you tight. And sometimes it can constrict you down to the point where you just feel like you can't go anywhere. Fear is not something that you can control on whether it comes your way or not, but you can control how long you entertain that fear, how long you pump it up, how big you make it, how much you allow it to control your life. You also cannot control your feelings. Sometimes feelings just pop up. And so sometimes you might find yourself upset about something. Sometimes you find yourself joyful, just out of the blue. Sometimes you find yourself resentful or jealous or angry, frustrated. All of those emotions can bubble up and they just kind of catch us out of the blue. And there's nothing we can do to control them. You know, I've read from lots of people about how you should be able to control your feelings. I don't think you can control your feelings. You can control what you do about your feelings. And in just a minute, I'm going to tell you how you can control how long those feelings last. But the fact that those feelings come upon you, well, that's how you're designed. You're created in a way that has these fears that are designed to keep you safe, even though the problem is you probably are a little hypersensitive to the things that you think are threatening, because we all are. And you have these feelings that come along, because we all do, because we have these parts of our brain that are so dominant. That amygdala that you have at the very base of your brain is only about looking for fears and threats, trying to keep you safe. The other thing that you have going on is the limbic system that creates these emotions. And those emotions can come out of the blue. Sometimes they're related to something. In fact, in just a minute, I'm going to tell you exactly what they're related to. But sometimes you don't know what's coming upon you. And suddenly those emotions grab you and hold you tight and you don't know what to do because it's disruptive. You know, sometimes I just get into a funk and I have to really work to get out of that funk. And I can't really think of exactly why it is, but I find out how to get out of it. We'll just talk about that in just a minute. And then there's another thing that you can't control, and that's the thoughts that pop into your head. Now, let me be clear about this. I do believe you can decide how long you're going to allow that thought to hold you and how long that thought is going to affect you, but you don't have control over what pops into your head. You see, that's what the mind does. That's just what our mind is designed to do. It creates thoughts. And sometimes those are thoughts that are very helpful. Sometimes those are thoughts that are not particularly helpful. You may have had the experience, as I have, where you have these weird thoughts that just pop into your head. You know, one of mine is to wonder what would happen if, and it can be these weird situations. You know, I've been at the top of a building. What would happen if I tripped and fell off? And, you know, these are not fun things that we like to let other people know about us. And sometimes we have these thoughts that pop into our head about other people or other events or things that are going on around us. And thank goodness we have a filter where we can choose whether we're going to say what we're thinking or just allow it to be a piece of our mind. But we can't just stop those thoughts from popping in our heads. In fact, one of the big things I've realized over time is these people who believe that you can work on the power of positive thinking, which is replacing every negative thought with a positive thought, don't recognize the fact that all they're doing is thinking another thought. And generally, when people start doing the power of positive thinking, you know, they have a negative thought, they replace it with a positive thought. And then there's a part of them that doubts it and begins to think a negative thought about that positive thought. So they have to come up with another positive thought to cover the negative thought that came up as a result of their positive thought. And so then they have to come up with it starts grabbing again, and that negative one tears down that second positive thought. So they have to come up with a third positive thought to be able to counteract that other negative thought that was about the positive thought that was about a negative thought that was about a positive thought that was about a negative thought, and on it goes. Because our brain acts that way, because our mind works that way, it just creates thoughts. We don't have control over our fears, our feelings, or our thoughts. We do have a choice on how long we entertain them. In fact, what I've discovered is that our feelings come exactly from those thoughts. And I'm going to prove it to you very quickly. I've done this experiment before, but choose a way you want to feel. If you want to feel fearful, choose that. If you want to feel angry, choose that. If you want to feel happy, if you want to feel contented, joyful, whatever your emotional state you want to choose, choose that. And just hit pause just for a second and make yourself feel that way. Okay, now that you're back, I assume that you tried that experiment. You hit pause and you tried to make yourself feel that way. How did you make yourself feel that emotion? Did you think something that made you feel that way? If you wanted to be angry, did you think about something that made you angry in the past? If you want to be happy, did you think about something that made you happy in the past? Well, that's the connection. Our feelings are a good indicator of what our thoughts are about. And so we don't have control over our feelings because those thoughts pop into our head and we start feeling that way. Not only that, but our fears come from just a hyperactive sensitivity, and we can pump them up by our thoughts. In fact, what I've noticed is that people who try to combat those fears by trying to avoid the things that make them fearful only grow the fears because they grow the thoughts about why that's so dangerous. They end up telling themselves stories about how they should avoid that, and we become more and more closed off. So we can't control our fears, our feelings, or our thoughts, at least on the initial side. The thing about a thought is it really is just a thought. It's nothing more than that. There are some good thoughts, there are helpful thoughts, there are not so helpful thoughts. And our choice is how long we're going to entertain the not so helpful thoughts. Sometimes we can let them go. In fact, what I've noticed is that people aren't so aware of their thinking until they become aware of their thinking. And as soon as they become aware of their thinking, they usually feel a little bit better. Because when you can say, you know what, that's just a thought. There's nothing more to that than just a thought. You begin to pull back from that thought. You begin to see the fact that that thought is not reality. It's just a thought. But those same thoughts create the feelings and also wire us into our fears because we overthink those fears and we get tied in. Okay, so we don't have control over our fears, our feelings, or our thoughts, at least initially. We can control what we do with them. We have a responsibility to decide to say, you know what, that's a thought. I'm not going to hold on to it, and watch the feeling to begin to subside. If you were thinking about something fearful a minute ago or angry or happy or whatever the emotion was you chose, if you've been listening to me, if you've been concentrating on what I've said and you've stopped thinking about those thoughts, you might notice that your emotional state has returned to more of a baseline. That's because you stopped thinking that thought. Now that I've brought it to your attention, you might go back to that feeling again. That's the nature of this. So when we buy into a thought, when we assume that thought is real instead of noticing that thought is just a thought, we get tied in to that feeling. We get anchored to that feeling and anchored to the fear that's behind that. So there are three things you do control and three very important ways you can counteract the fears, the feelings, and the thoughts. First, you have a choice to move towards aspiration. Fears are automatic. Fears are our default setting. That's just a way our brain is created. It's to keep us safe. Long ago, your ancestors were the ones who were most sensitive to the shadow that was out there. They saw something move in the bush and they went, you know what? I think I better get out of here. They didn't pause and wonder, I wonder what that is in the bush. I wonder if I should look behind that bush to see what it is. They got out of the way. Those who were left behind them, who wondered what that was behind the bush, got eaten that day and their genes weren't passed on. So your ancestors were super good at being fearful. That's our default setting. It keeps us safe. Unfortunately, it was designed to keep us safe when the threat was right behind that log, or right behind that bush, or right up in that tree, or lurking behind us in the dark. And so those same fears that used to keep us safe are a little hyperactive for a fairly safe world that we live in now. They still are activated, though, and they're still super sensitive. And so we still have those places of fear that are our default setting. Aspirations are our dreams, our hopes, our desires, where we want to move towards. It's how you want to make a difference in the world. It's how you want to be in the world, who you want to be in the world, the things you want to move towards. Those are our aspirations. That's a choice. When we decide to move towards our aspirations, we choose to move in that direction. We begin to think about the places we want to go and the ways we want to get there. So you have control over the aspirations you have. You don't have control over those fears that pop up, but then you can choose to move toward your aspirations, your higher place, your greater sense of call in the world, the way you want to be in the world. You also have a choice of attitude. Now, those feelings are going to come along because of the thoughts, but even if you've got a down day, if your attitude is, I can get through this, I will get through this, I can make it through this, that counteracts the dangers of the feelings. You can't just cut off the feelings until you let go of the thoughts, but you can choose an attitude of doing well. It used to be when I would teach scuba diving with my buddy, he would always talk. And now Ray, my scuba diving buddy, is in his 70s and still is diving and still is barefoot skiing and doing all water skiing and all those other things. He's just an active guy, even at that age. And every day he's out doing work and riding his motorcycle and is a great guy who has a very positive outlook. He has chosen a positive attitude. And in fact, one of the things we talked about in that scuba class is, as we were approaching these exercises, keep a PMA, positive mental attitude. Choose to say, you know what? I can get through this. I can master this. I can get beyond this. I can learn from the struggles through this. That's the attitude. It's not about the feeling. You can have down feelings. You can have down days. But you can choose to overcome by choosing your attitude. The attitude is the place where you say, you know what? I can move through this. I have a thriver's attitude, not that I'm devoid of feelings or that I'm always at the top of the world. And this is where I kind of find that a lot of people think, oh, you're just saying that everybody's got to be happy-go-lucky and upbeat all the time. Not at all. Feelings are legitimate reflections of how our thoughts are going. Attitude is how we choose to learn and grow through life, even when the struggles come our way. When we take on a struggle and we say, I can learn from this, I can grow through this, I can move beyond this, I can conquer this, I can find a way through this, we've chosen an attitude that will take us through no matter where our feelings are at that moment, no matter where our fears are at that point, to a higher place. Our attitude is chosen to aim towards our aspirations. The last thing you have control over is your actions. And that's a wonderful thing because our actions, when they are reflecting our feelings, can be dangerous. You know, if somebody is angry and upset, their actions can be the place that kind of hurts other people. And unfortunately, a lot of people say, the devil made me do it. I had no way of controlling that action. But we all have a choice of our actions. We all have that space between our immediate reactivity and our choice of a response. We all have that space between how we're feeling and what we're going to do. And we all have that place when we can say, you know what? I can choose to not act on my feelings. I can choose to not act on my fears. I can choose to back away from that. We have control of our actions, but only when we decide to claim it. One of what I see is the shortfalls is that many people say, well, I couldn't help that. I couldn't control that. And they excuse themselves instead of recognizing that that's one of the choices they have. We can choose our aspirations. We can choose our attitude, and we can choose our actions. Our thoughts are part of that action. If you have a thought that's in your head and you recognize it's just a thought, the action of letting it go, the action of really doing nothing active other than recognizing it's just a thought, can give you the space to allow you the room to let it go. When you make a thought reality, when you make a thought concrete, then your actions are going to likely come out of that. But if you recognize that thought's just a thought, you don't have to act on it. You don't have to hold on to it. You don't have to entertain it. You can choose to let it go. Then you have a choice of your actions. Remember, you can't control your fears, your feelings, or your thoughts, or at least when they initially come onto you. But you do have a choice of your aspirations, your attitude, and your actions. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
Listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.